Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Good morning, everybody. What a great day to be with you here on Political Coffee. So we're going to talk today about a couple of things. It's Tuesday, of course, so it is the day that we have our weekly conversation with State Senator Dennis Linthicum. And we're going to talk about the governor's wife and all the first lady. Governor, of course, being a woman who's married to her woman friend, wife, the first spouse, gets her own office. Well, maybe she gets her own office. This thing's starting to blow up, folks. So let's talk about it with State Senator Dennis Linthicum. Let's talk about it with you today. It has been revealed that the First Lady, well, I guess she's having a big role in the administration. She's making lots of decisions, so much so that if you've read the stories about this, you've listened to it. In fact, Lars had a great commentary about it. We'll talk a little bit about that. But the reality is that she apparently is making decisions to the extent that the chief of staff and other staffers decided they didn't want to be a part of it anymore, so they've resigned from the governor's office. Well, that was all part of that story from before. Now we know that she's getting, the governor's wife is getting state police protection. She's going to a governor's spouse retreat in Utah now. Does this lead us, and actually the headline is incorrect here. There's an Oregon Catalyst article about this, because it's really drawing the parallel with John Kitzhaber and his very corrupt girlfriend. Remember that? Now, there have been law changes since that time of the controversy that should have put John Kitzhaber and his girlfriend in jail. That's my humble opinion. They got away with it. But the law has changed. So the question is this. And I can guarantee you that everybody's going to be looking. I mean, Nigel Jaquis wrote this article that really raised the eyebrows here. And there is a follow-up article. It says, Kotek releases more information about First Lady staff and duties. She's attending staff meetings and travels with state police protection. So should a spouse, I mean, this is Lars's point. I think he's right on the money. So let's ask that question. Should a spouse attend staff meetings? I mean, who got elected here? So when the last Republican governor was elected, did his wife attend staff meetings? Nope. There's no record of that I can find. Maybe I'm wrong, but I certainly never recall anything about that. How about Ted Kulongoski, or even the first John Kitzhaber 8 years? Did Sharon Kitzhaber, his wife at the time, did she attend staff meetings? If so, it's probably really rare. Ted Kulongoski, I never heard, and I served as a member of the House of Representatives under both Ted Kulongoski and John Kitzhaber. I never heard anything about that. And you know, friends, you got to understand the rumor mill inside the legislature is, you know how I describe it. being in the legislature or being in politics in general is like being in junior high school on steroids. Everything you hated about junior high school is in play in politics. So there's rumors that abound, and oftentimes there's, you know, a modicum of truth behind those rumors. I never heard of any of those rumors. So in this case, did John Kitzhaber break ground that he shouldn't have broken by allowing the first lady, first girlfriend, first concubine, I think as I referred to her and as Julie referred to her yesterday in an email, should she be granted the opportunity to attend staff meetings and have input and help make decisions? Who elected the wife to make decisions for you and I? It's the appropriate question. What do you think about it? 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. I also want to tell folks, have you seen this spectacular video? I mean, it's not a good thing, but of this Baltimore Bridge collapse. It is the most amazing thing to watch. It was an interstate bridge, federal bridge, mass casualty. It got struck by a cargo ship. And as you watch it, I mean, even though it is at night, you can see trucks and things going in the water. Wow. It is a stunning thing. Now, no amount of money restructuring a bridge is going to stop an I-5 bridge from going down if a cargo ship hits it. How is it that that all across America, I mean, just think about all the ships that pass every day under the Golden Gate or the Interstate Bridge or the Glen Jackson Bridge here in Oregon. They don't hit them. How did this happen? It is a stunning thing to even contemplate. There's other things going on, and we'll sort of talk with them. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I want to lay out for you how we come back from the break here. We're going to play an interview with Jonathan Castro Monroy, who is the guy that we interviewed live Saturday at the Union Hispana event. This is where, and we're going to play this series of interviews over the next few days. So if you want to call and talk about the First Lady, you better do it today, because at the bottom of the hour, we have Senator Dennis Linthicum, and we're going to talk with him about this. And the potential for this bringing down Tina Kotek's administration. Now, how would that happen? Well, it's because everybody's going to be watching. But should the Republicans in the legislature, I'm going to go a step further here, should the Republicans in the legislature literally make a big fuss about this to the point that they defund that part of her office? Because apparently a staffer now is going to operate as the governor's wife's chief of staff. She is from, I believe, DAS, according to one of these stories, and has a $146,000 a year salary. Should Republicans specifically try to defund that issue? Is this much ado about nothing? Or is the point that Lars makes the right one to make? I want to know what you think about this. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at KSLM.news. Like the one I just got from Eileen. She says, I think DAS rules state only state employees can have office space or parking space. So is the DAS staffer being loaned to Kotek for this next 6 months in cahoots with Kotek on this? Yeah, she is. But if those are the rules, then is Amy Kotek Wilson, is she considered a state employee now? Isn't that nepotism? Isn't there a law against that now? It's a great question, Eileen. Thank you. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning.
Morning, my friend.
So what do you think about the latest development here, the DAS?
Well, we need to verify the deal, Jeff. Okay, let's face facts here. A lot of people get rich when they're in government. And obviously, Tina can't take advantage of doing certain things, but her domestic partner could. And therefore, I think it's completely inappropriate for her to sit in meetings, take notes, and then possibly do investing and stuff like that in companies, et cetera, et cetera. Nancy Pelosi was obviously her husband, became a multimillionaire by having inside information. We all know it. Nothing was done about it. But the facts are facts, Jeff. And therefore, number one, it's inappropriate for her, for Tina's spouse to sit in these meetings. She wasn't elected for anything. And then, two, I think this is probably a similar situation with the first concubine of a former governor, if you know what I mean.
Well, I do. I think that I just don't know how this escapes maximum levels of scrutiny. I mean, from, you know, people like Nigel Jaquist, from people like myself and maybe you, that would literally engage in a constant flow of public records requests for schedules and make complaints for ethics.
Yeah, obviously. And Jeff, you know, we all have the right to contact the Secretary of State's office and request a full audit of these individuals. And I mean a full audit, Jeff.
Yeah, right, I agree.
To see if something's going on. You agree?
I do, 100%. In fact, now, so that really gets to my point about Republicans making this an issue. Should they?
Yeah.
What does it gain us politically?
Have a great day.
All right, so here's the reality.
Great day.
What does this gain us politically, folks? Does it gain us anything? Does it hurt us? I mean, those of us who want to hold government accountable, I don't care what your political persuasion is. You can be liberal. There were a lot of liberal state employees, union people, did not like what John Kitzhaber did. I wonder how they feel about this. You're one of them. And you want to email me or call me? 503-589-1220. You can remain anonymous if you want. I want to know what you think as a state employee. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back 22 minutes past the top of the hour. So what do you think about, you know, the continued, what is obvious, a controversy about the governor's wife acting and making decisions for you and I? She wasn't elected. Did we elect Tina Kotek's wife? No. So what issues does this raise? One of the, I mean, if you are a state employee and you have an opinion about this, would love to hear from you. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. You don't have to, if you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. More than happy to do it. If you have knowledge about this situation, you want to comment on it. Especially what Eileen had, the email she sent me. If you want to send me an email, I will not use your name if you ask that. Send it to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at kslm.news. Eileen said, I think DAS rules state only state employees can have office space and a parking space. So if that's accurate, is there an exemption for the governor? If there isn't, what's the recourse here? I mean, Republicans could file an ethics complaint against the governor. Republicans, I'm talking legislators now, could ask for a legal opinion from Dexter Johnson, who's the head of all the lawyers that work for the legislature downstairs in the basement, as if the governor is in fact breaking the law. Or if the governor is going around state rules, what would be the problem with that? Anyway, got to get to the Jonathan Castro-Monroy interview. We'll have to cut it off because I've waxed eloquent here. Right. Amanda, go ahead and play.
There we go.
All righty. I am here, and thank you for listening, everyone. My name is Jonathan Castro, and the reason why we're here today is to engage the Hispanic community in the Salem area. The reality is that as it stands right now, there is a silent Hispanic majority who is not active in our community in the arenas of politics. They are not being represented. Right. And what we hope to accomplish today is, one, connect them with elected officials that represent their Hispanic family values, which we have them here today, and then to engage them into our community to serve as leaders in our community, and also to spread the word of the elected officials that need our support in this election season and future election cycles as well.
So it's really about building relationship, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there, in the Hispanic community, is there a distrust of relationship or just no relationship?
There is no relationship. For the longest time, if you look here in Salem, the Hispanic community is generally, the majority of the Hispanic community is not represented. So in a way, there's just no relationship. Right. They're kind of in their own world, but it's important to know that the Hispanic community keeps on growing, right?
Absolutely.
And it's also important to note that those who are involved, who are Hispanics, and the Salem community generally are usually very captive to what I would describe as more on the far left ideology,
mm-hmm, right,
which is not representative of the Hispanic majority.
No, not. And it amazes me is that because the left does a really good job, the leftists, the Marxists, the communists, they do a really good job of reaching out to the Hispanic community, and they don't really know what they stand for and how greatly different they are than their own family values. And that to me is a powerful opportunity for those of us who are conservative, more family value oriented, to do these kinds of events with you. And that's why I'm really excited for what you've done here. You've got a great turnout. You've got a great group of elected officials from people that are serving in the Salem City Council, with Julie Hoyes running for mayor. Obviously two county commissioners, Colm Willis, Danielle Bethel, and then two state representatives, Representative Ed Deal, Representative Kevin Mannix, Kevin is an old colleague of mine when I served in the House of Representatives.
Yeah,
he speaks Spanish. And the sheriff is here also. And these are all just so important for the Hispanic community to be understanding that they have an opportunity to come to meet them, to build relationship, and to express their concerns.
Right. Yeah, one of the challenges is the identity politics that we see in society. And I think the left has done a phenomenal job at, in a way, having a lot of influence in this community. In a way, they engage in communication with them, sometimes withholding information that is important right. for the community in order to make an educated decision. Now, by definition, a perspective or on voting on someone, they usually disassociate with anything on the left.
So make that point again, because we're recording that, and I'm going to play that on my radio show. So say what you just said again about people on the left withhold information.
Right. Yeah. So what I've seen is that the groups on the left only provide the information that is convenient for them, and they withhold information to identity groups like right, the Hispanic right. community. Now, a psychologist will tell you that's abusive and that's manipulation. Right. What we do here is we give everyone all the information so they can make an educated decision on who they are going to vote and support.
Yes.
And what we found is that when they do have all the information in front of them, they disassociate themselves from anything on the left. And those who didn't have...
Thanks, everybody. Back in a moment with Nick Denver. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car. 24 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you back with us here today, friends of Political Coffee. Yes, I'm your benevolent dictator talk show host, Jeff Krupp, former state representative. And in just a moment, we'll have our weekly visit with State Senator Dennis Linthicum. And we want to talk with him about the main topic we're talking about today, and that is Tina Kotek's wife getting staff, getting state police protection, sitting in on staff meetings, and making decisions. Did we elect her, as Lars points out? Or is this potentially a violation of not only state law, but maybe, as one of our listeners points out, state rules? We'll talk with him about that. I also want to know your opinion. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. I played the interview with Jonathan Castro Monroy from the Latino event Union Hispana on Saturday for a reason. Because they are an opportunity, this group of people, to help conservatives win elections. And we better do them. Because like this story in the Epoch Times today, the New York City Council is appealing a court ruling that struck down their city council law allowing non-citizens to vote. It would have allowed nearly 1 million non-citizens to vote in local elections. Folks, they've been trying that here in Oregon, and they're going to try it again. This is why they're flooding the country with the illegals. You've got to watch this stuff, folks. It's a very, very big deal. Also talking about the bridge collapse, what a stunning thing to see that huge container ship destroy that bridge and all those trucks going in the water. If you've not seen the video of it, you can find it. It's out there. And Donald Trump, his net worth today is going to hit about $6.5 billion. Why? Because Truth Social starts trading today, publicly traded in the stock markets under the symbol DJT. Oh, boy, is that going to be interesting? Joining us is State Senator Dennis Lithicum. Senator, great to have you with us again today. So just, I'm just curious, what's your first impressions of this whole business of the governor's wife now being given a role in making decisions and having her own office? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I have long thought that the governor's wife thing, oftentimes when these individuals who are in these, off-center relationships are in political relationships, it's not really, due to love. The story is we just love each other, et cetera. But this is, it's a political setup. It's maneuvering a relationship for political gain. It's in very much the same way I say that I've been married for 44 years to my wife, Diane. And I use that because it lets people know where I stand on the political spectrum, on the multi-gender spectrum, where I stand on family values. And it's a very convenient thing for me to use. However, I've only been in politics for a handful of years, a dozen years. And so my entire life has been in private enterprise. I've been in, I was down in the Hughes aircraft defense industry and a manufacturer, semiconductor and microchip manufacturing facility. I was a senior vice president at Pacific Mutual Life Insurance. And, in an IT capacity, I've always been a software guy. And so that was simply for love. And I had no other targets on my mind other than to, win Diane's heart and to raise a family together. We homeschool our kids and that kind of thing. So when people hear my background and my story, they say, aha, I can identify with that. I think Governor Kotek uses her, prejudice in the same way. But there's a difference with, the Oregon Catalyst had a great cartoon that people ought to look up. Regarding the governor's wife. I mean, it's just hilarious because it's Kitzhaber's friends with benefits. And it's all of these people. Once you open the door, there's all of these opportunities where other people are making pleas along the same lines. And in one news article I read, this was to investigate, quote unquote, opening the office of the governor, it's the first office of the first spouse. Now that really doesn't sound like what government should be involved in. Government should not be involved in promoting first spouses, second spouses, or third spouses. This is where government is being manipulated by the Marxists, the collectivists, the people who are growing the state government at every turn, in every nook and cranny. They'll promote something that's supposed to sound reasonable, sound decent, sound good. And at every turn, it becomes extremely expensive and costly and is inappropriate, and government shouldn't be dealing that. If we go back to the constitutional founding, government has specific enumerated powers, and we're long through that shield that was to protect taxpayers. And everybody, instead of protecting the bacon of their own taxpayer in their own districts, is busy trying to bring bacon home. In the Oregon legislature, they call it the Christmas tree bill, or they call it, cookies from the legislative office, where all of these funding and various projects for those who play the game and get along and go along, they all get their projects funding, while those who stand out and say, no, I'm not playing this silly game, those projects get defeated. In turn, that floats back to your local constituencies. Those individuals say, hey, we could have had $500,000 for a health center for our school district. And it's like, You guys, you don't want a rural health center for your school district. The story that is getting floated is, but syphilis is raging through our high schools. It's like parents need to get involved. The state cannot do it. This isn't a public health issue. This is a moral issue that has to be dealt with by moms and dads. And we should be promoting families, keeping families alive and well and prosperous, and not taxing them to death here in the state of Oregon.
We also have to hold people accountable. So the question would be this. One of our listeners has knowledge, probably a state employer, a former state employee, and asked a question saying that DAS rules say that only state employees can get office space or parking spaces. Okay, so.
Well, yeah, that's a perfect, I look forward to, you know, having the opportunity to investigate that as the Secretary of State. It would be a great audit to perform at the higher levels of government to hold those executive offices accountable. When's the last time any Secretary of State thought about taking the microscope to those offices and those various commissions that all get appointed by the governor's office, and those hand-picked individuals that all got put on the governor's appointment list, and on it goes. We have grown government far beyond the scope of anybody's ability to inspect, and the cost involved in doing that is tremendous. It's about time the Secretary of State's office mustered the courage to investigate these kinds of things at the executive level.
And one of our listeners sent me a text message, wanted me to ask you, how's your Secretary of State campaign going? What are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing all kinds of things. We're in the southern counties mostly. Here's an interesting twist on this story. As everybody knows, I have been banned from the ballot for my Senate District 28.
Right.
And my wife Diane, who's been my chief of staff for 8 years, speaking about spouses and relationships. And she's the most qualified for that position because we have a relationship, and because the political climate in Salem is so dangerous, there's trust associated with a distinct relationship like we have. She's been there. She's qualified. She's a not only a policy analyst and the chief constituent program manager, but she's also a keen confidant. She's not on the payroll as a confidant, right? Everybody's familiar with the phrase pillow talk. And so it's good to see this conversation come up. We're following the rules that are valid here in the state of Oregon, and I look forward to continuing to investigate and follow those rules to the teeth.
Thank you, Senator Linthicum. I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad you've made that commitment because it needs to happen. Lots of eyes on this situation. Thank you. Be blessed out there, folks. Back in a moment at 6:48.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and we have many great sponsors. We're very, very grateful for Freedom Heating and Air continuing with this radio station and with this show. They do a fantastic job at making your life better. And they really do. Folks, if you're not comfortable because your system just doesn't work right, whatever system it is, you're not comfortable at home, man, you're miserable. Think about it. Well, They can make that better, and they do. And they do it a lot, and sometimes head and shoulders above other of their competitors. It's one of the reasons they've been so successful in the Mid-Valley area for well over 50 years. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Check out their website, because on that website, they have a blog. And in that blog, they talk about things that you can do yourself. They even have DIY kits. And you would think, well, why would a business want to help their customers, you know, take money out of their pocket, the business's pocket, by helping give people advice about how to take care of their system? Well, it's because they want the best for their customers. That kind of attitude is reflected in everything they do. That's something worthy of you considering when you're looking at all of their competitors in the Mid-Valley area to come and fix what's wrong with your system. Or maybe your system just needs that tune-up. I mean, you know, spring has sprung and summer's going to be here faster than what we know it. Is your system ready for that? Maybe it isn't. Maybe you know it. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait. Call Freedom Heating and Air and they'll come on out and check out what's going on with your system. 503-580-1456. 503-580-1456. Doug writes an email. Says, we elected Tina Kotek's wife, you say? Well, no, we didn't. Lars asked that question, and it's the right question. You know, we didn't elect the wife. Anyway, he continues. Sounds like a case of burglary, trespass of the citizenry. If the state continues down the road of unreason with no reason, then we get the socialist welfare state we deserve. Follow the money. All corporate collusion is created by government, and it starts right at the top. It can't happen with government intrusion. Economic freedom is no different than any other freedom. Oregonians must decide if they still want to give up their lives to make corporate government happy. Folks, we got to keep the pressure on. That's one of the things that Dennis Linthicum and other of our state representatives and our senators can do. And they can do that by asking a series of questions, asking for a legislative council's legal opinion. Is this office legal? Is extending these benefits to a governor's spouse that are defined in state rules and state law, is that a violation of that? This has to happen. And not just with Senator Linthicum, but frankly, all of the Republicans ought to be standing firm on this. This smells to high heaven, and you should look at that great cartoon, and I'll have it on the show plan today, in the Oregon Catalyst article. The cartoon of John Kitzhaber reminds us this incredible corruption. This is what you get with one-party rule. In a moment, we're going to go to Freddie. I want to remind you, friends, if you want to stand up for free and fair elections, you should do business with MyPillow. Yesterday, I got my wonderful Percale sheets on sale, queen sets. Folks, $25. Complete set of sheets for $25. Made in America. Very high quality. Got them yesterday. Haven't put them on the bed yet, but I will. I got to launder them and do all of that stuff first. I'm supporting my belief that we must have free and fair elections. The story that I alluded to about New York City got slapped down because they wanted to give 1 million illegal aliens the right to vote. Folks, that's going to happen to Oregon. It's going to happen across the country. That's why we have to elect people who will stand for what is right. Not just for the Constitution, but what is right. And you do that if you do business with MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code PC23. And you'll help defend your liberty. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll start with Freddie. Freddie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. One of the reasons, and I think it's more than just one party, is that now we treat all these politicians like they're royalty. The law does not apply to them. So there's a two-tier law system. And everybody kind of kisses their rear end because they have access to the government checkbook, and it's all about the money. And what we need to do is get back to the American values. And we're losing those because if you follow the American values, you don't do what you're doing today, like having your spouse in a government office. She does not belong there. She was not elected. That's all BS is what it is.
So,
and I think Senator Lindsey Kim was right when he talked about it's a political move.
How far?
So, you know, marriage is between anything you want to be married to, and that's what they're trying to shove down to our face. And we need to stand firm against this and say you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it.
Thank you, Freddie, and you're right on the money. Mo writes an email before I go to Gary, quoting Ephesians 5. I read it this morning. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He says, stop calling this union a marriage. It may be a union, but it's not marriage. God defined what marriage is. Call it an abomination. That being said, no, she should not be given an office or benefits. We did not elect her. She has no right to any benefits other than what any other first lady gets. Well said, Mo. Let's go to Gary. Go Biebs.
Hey, Jeff. Go Ducks. Hey, ain't affirmative action wonderful?
Sure. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you've got your gay woman governor. I mean, we had to check the boxes, didn't we?
Apparently so.
It's just virtue signaling, and that's all that matters. I'm reading an article here. It says Oregon urgently shuts down small farms en masse to protect the people. Is that true?
Yes. That story is out there, and it is Department of Agriculture, Department of Water Resources. They are backtracking from it because it's blowing up on them big time. To a point, they're backtracking on it. It's just too complicated to talk about in the short period of time. But yes, it's true.
I get it, but in encapsulation, it's the same thing as shutting down the forests. They have no reason. They're blaming the water when we're getting flooded in water and tearing down the dams. And then any excuse is a good excuse if you're not interested in it. And the only thing they want to do is shut down capitalism in Oregon, and make us all wards of the state, just like the forest where they're going to take out 65% of the school funding. Well, guess who's going to pay that 65%? You.
That's right. Go
Ducks.
The general fund. Thank you, Gary. Go Biebs. Corby, great email on elections. And a state employee will never be named.